Ladies and gentlemen, this is Jason Block here for an NAWC Extra here on Spectrum One. Season 2 of the most interesting fake viral video series in WWE in a long time has dropped today. That would be Southpaw Regional Wrestling. And who better to get the 80s Southern wrestling feel than, of course, the man himself from La Follette, Tennessee, Mr. Brian Henniger. How are you, sir?
Doing wonderful, sir. And we just got through watching all 6 episodes of season 2 of Southpaw Regional Wrestling. And oh my gosh, did they nail it again?
Yes, they did. Now, let's talk about who has returned from season 1, and we'll get to who is there for season 2. Returning from season 1 is, of course, John Cena as Lance Catamaran. Who would you call him? Sort of the Lance Russell?
He was sort of the way he was explained, he was sort of a mix between Lance Russell and Gordon Solie almost.
Right. And Johnny Curtis Fandango as Chet Cheddarfield, the alcoholic co-anchor who is in love with Susan, who we find out later, which we'll find out later on, actually has an actress. And it's fun. We'll get to that. Chris Jericho returns as the Don Cherry-like Clint Bobsky. TJP returns as John Johnson, the non-charismatic babyface champion.
Yes.
And let's see, Pelvis Wesley?
Yeah, the impressive Pelvis Wesley.
Which is Lance Storm. And
he's Rhino's partner.
Yeah. Rhino and Heath Slater. Good Lord.
Yes, thank you, Heath Slater.
My God,
we're
stupid.
Off to a flying start today, aren't we?
Excuse me, we're imitating. We're doing as good as the people on the show. and of course, Chad Too Bad and Tex Ferguson are back as the club. Now, there are a ton of new characters introduced. A ton, and it's yes. And every one of them are absolutely perfect, pitch perfect.
They're gold.
They're gold. First of all, Susan, the love intro, the unrequited love of
Cheddarfield
is played by Renee Young, and she's awesome in this. She's great.
She is so fun. She has a Southern accent and. Looking at the hair they gave her, she really kind of reminds me of a young Vanna White.
Yes. Then we actually had to speak, and the other lady, because we hired two, not one, if you'll get that if you watch the show, is Debbie Desperado, played by Natalia. Now, there is a scene in there which we won't spoil, where Clint Bobsky is interviewing her. And let's just say eyes up here, pretty much, right?
Precisely. And what's so cool is that they have this running gag where they're laughing at the fact that a woman actually wants to wrestle.
Right, which in the 80s was absolutely true for the most
exactly.
part.
Exactly.
Go ahead.
And the best part of it was how John Cena as Lance Catamaran keeps saying, I still say it as a small man, a very misshapen small man.
Yes. And of course, Natalia had her hair she must have used a ton of that Aquanet hairspray from the 80s. Good Lord, that hair was so high. Okay.
And am I the only one who got a real kind of a glow on Netflix feel with her character?
A little bit, yes. But there was also a tribute to glow in the first part of it. Now, next also was AJ Styles as Malibu Al, the used car salesman. Oh, my God.
Oh, he was hilarious.
He was such a sleaze bag. Oh my God, he was great.
Complete with the plaid suit.
As you called it, the Gene Rayburn special, yes.
Yep, and the best part was how he said something like, "Station wagon will be this season's honest to God meat wagon. I drive one, and I got 6 kids."
Awesome. Okay. So then we move on to Daniel Bryan, who played not one, but two characters, which were absolutely hilarious. Okay. He played René Beret, which is a great name for this guy. He was a French guy with a beret and a baguette and a French, you know, that stereotypical French turtleneck with the stripes.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And Dan Bandana. Okay.
Who is the All-American face.
Right. The All-American face in his, you know, All-American boxer shorts and stuff. And they did a very bad 80s split screen, which was great, by the way, if you saw that. That, again, nice touch, where they had a quote-unquote face-to-face.
Yes.
Okay. Chad Too Bad was and Tex Ferguson, they had a bunch of scenes throughout the entire episode where they were lost trying to get to the showdown at the swamp, which, by the way, was also done for the Do It for Dewey tournament, which, by the way, I think also was a little tribute to Mick Foley, maybe?
Maybe, because you know, his son is named Dewey.
Yes. So
but I think there's also another reason. Back in the 80s, back in the old World Class territory, there was this legendary wrestler called the Missing Link, and his real name was Dewey Robertson.
So could be there, too. So yeah. We also had Jason Jordan as Pork Chop Jones. Now, you said that was a legit tribute to somebody else.
It was. It was a guy who wrestled in Memphis for years. His name was Pork Chop Cash. Mm-hmm. And he was actually part of the New Fabulous Ones alongside the Dream Machine. And he also was a member of the Jimmy Hart's stable, the First Family.
So there was continuity there. So this was not just the stereotype.
Exactly.
Okay. The Miz. Oh man, The Miz was okay. Was fabulous. What was it? Fabulous Adam Dunk.
Astonishing Adam Dung.
With the umlaut. Yes. Okay. and who had you said was also taken from another wrestler, you think?
Well, I think so, because there's this very famous viral video of this really, you know, untalented wrestler. I mean, he was a wrestler, but he could not cut a promo to save his life, named Jumping Jeff Farmer. Where he was the one where he just went, yep.
Okay, gotcha.
And basically, look, The Miz, who we all know, one of the best promos in the business, he's got charisma coming out of every pore of his body, managed in this bit to play the most uncharismatic, worst-talking wrestler that has ever existed in the history of the world.
Which was insane, okay? Then yeah. We had Dolph Ziggler playing against type, I say jokingly. And what was his name? He played an 80s rocker named...
Nikki Six Rocks.
Nikki Six Rocks, okay. Now, the Ascension were no longer the surf dudes with attitudes. They were the Top Guns. Oh, wait, you can't do that anymore. They were called the Danger Zone, sort of, which was kind of cute. Then we had a couple of other tag teams. The New Day played Voo and Do, a bunch of voodoo priests.
Yeah, they were a pair of witch doctors.
Stereotypical.
And they were, and they were so good.
At being so bad. You know,
yes, exactly.
And you know what the funny thing is? Is that they're breaking stereotypes by playing them.
Well, thing is, back in the 80s, and this is, you know, it's not fair to say, but back in the 80s, a lot of the, especially in the territories, a good number of black wrestlers, they played, you know, savages and voodoo witch doctors and stuff that were stereotypical black guys.
Right.
And there were some who managed to go above that. Guys like the Junkyard Dog and Tom Boogaloo Shaft and all these other guys.
Yeah.
But there were guys who played those roles, and the fact that they were able to deconstruct them and be hilarious was great.
And you also, yes, and Vu and Do, because that's what McElroy, yeah. And and by the way, the new sponsor was not KFC. It was Old Spice. Okay. And yes. The Chet Chatterfield and Mr. McElroy were the people involved. And I think, now, do you think that was just coincidence? I think that was just coincidence. It was.
I mean, it's my understanding that they didn't realize this whole Southpaw regional wrestling deal would take off like it did. So they're having companies that are saying, hey, we'd like to sponsor another season if you guys want to do it. And they went with Old Spice.
Which was a good one. Good one to have. We also had, first of all, there is a total surprise at the end. There are a couple of surprises at the end of episode 6, which we will not spoil.
No, I won't. We will not spoil them. But let's just say random cameos are random, and we'll say that.
Yes, and also Seth Rollins and Rhino were absolutely over the top as the Butchers.
Yeah, Dry Rub Doug, and I didn't get Rhino's name.
Yes,
but they cut a promo in the middle of it. And Rhino was corpsing halfway through it. He was trying so hard not to start laughing.
Because it was so lame and so bad. But here's the interesting thing. I think they hit it again. Overall, I think they hit it again. They really did.
Oh, they did. I mean, and what got me about this was apparently this was almost like a prequel.
Yes, because
this took place before the first season. It took place in August of 1986.
Right, because the first one took place, in 89, I think?
87.
87, yes. So they could go backwards if they want. That's great.
And by the way, WWE is already on point. There is an entire page of merch on the Shop Zone site.
Right now? Already?
Right now.
Is there a Do It For Dewey t-shirt?
There is.
You son of a bitch.
They've got promotional shirts for both Lethal Leap Year and Showdown at the Swamp.
Hold on. I've got to see this. I'm sorry.
Okay. Here, I'll send you the link on Facebook. Give me one second,
no,
okay?
No. I'm going there now. Just hold on.
All right.
Let's see. Yes. Oh, dear God. They've got everything.
Yeah.
Okay. First of all, they've got the Showdown Lethal Leap Year with a collector's box. Okay.
It looks like a VHS tape.
They've got the Malibu Al t-shirt. Nice. Oh, my God.
What it says here. Off Interstate 10 in the heart of Louisiana's used tire district.
Doing It For Dewey. Oh, God. The Butcher's Fomax. The Susan and Chet shirt. Oh, my God. Oh, wow. Oh, man. Just. That is on point. That is freaking on point. Oh. Oh, my God. I'm crying here because they got it right. That's exactly. And you know those will freaking sell. And I want them.
Oh, me too. I want the. I may just buy the coffee mug. I like that mug.
Oh, the coffee. Yes, exactly. I don't know. The Showdown. I want to see the Showdown at the Swamp. Do they actually have the actual?
Yeah, they have the back. The back has the match card on it.
Let's see. Can we zoom into that or no? I don't think.
I am. I'm looking at it right now. It says here. Let's see. Southpaw Championship match to be determined. Southpaw Tag Team Champions, the Butchers versus Tex Too Bad. The Dewey Jackson Memorial Tournament, Dan Bandana versus Renee Barre in a flag match. The Bankers $10,000 Challenge. Our First Lady Wrestler makes her debut. musical performance, and in the very bottom, card subject change.
Bingo! Oh my god, that's beautiful. That is just so. See, that's how they got it right. They got it right. Now, overall, do you think they improved on season one?
I think they. I mean,
or,
I don't.
Or
think
is it different? Is it different? Because it's got to be different, I would think.
It's different. I mean, the first season was kind of lightning in a bottle. It was something like they didn't know this was going to take off like it did. It was just something the guys were doing. I think more or less just to have fun. They didn't realize it was going to be this massive hit, and it really was a massive hit.
Yeah.
But I think the second season, it wasn't to the point where they were trying to. So it's like they weren't trying to be they weren't trying to sell merchandise, or they weren't trying to wink at people. There was still a lot of great humor in there, and they pulled it off, and they did it amazingly well. Everyone is having fun.
Yes.
And that's the thing. Everyone is just having so much fun doing this. And you really get the feeling that this was something that they've been wanting to do, because I don't think this hurts professional wrestling, and I don't think it hurts Southern wrestling, but you've got to have a little fun with it. Every so often, it's okay to kind of walk back a little bit and have a little fun with what you do.
I also believe that what's amazing is that they've got to do a season three, and they've got to get more people into it. And I don't know how they're going to do it, but what they've done, I think they cast everybody played their role beautifully. I really believe that, and I'm hoping for season three, and may it not be, may it be less delayed than it was the first time. But
they're not going to do that. I firmly believe that they're going to. I mean, I wouldn't surprise me if they're already planning a season three right now. What I wanted to see one day, though, the dream that I have for this
is to actually have a card, a legit card.
Yeah, like actually do a show, like rent out a small studio, put a ring in the middle of the studio, and just do like a 1-hour episode and see how far you could take it.
Like, in other words, wrestle 80s style with like 50 people with folding chairs and bad mats and things like that.
Yeah, folding chairs, bad mats, 5-minute headlocks, that kind of stuff.
I don't know if they could do it, but I'd love to see it. But holy cow, this is fun. This was, like I said, I cried laughing because, again, they hit it right, and they really upped it, with, I will just say, the 80s ending. Just say the 80s ending.
Right? Uh-huh. Yeah. My favorite scene of the whole show. Can I tell you my favorite scene?
Yeah. Which one?
Okay. It's kind of built up over a few episodes. Basically, it's where Mr. McElroy puts up a $10,000 challenge to whomever wants to accept it. And so The Miz, as astonishing Adam Doong, accepts the challenge. Well, in episode 5, we find out that the people he'll be facing are actually a pair were Vu and Do, the voodoo witch doctors, which is the New Day. And we hear we hear Susan say, "And you're not going to be facing Mr. McElroy. You're facing his two friends." Yeah, he's got this look of sheer terror on his face, and he runs away. And you see him running back with his suitcase,
which was the big 80s suitcase back in the day.
Yes, and then he says, "Wait a minute!" And you hear boom, and he drives off. And you see, and you forgot your underpants. You're going to need these.
Too funny. Renee was perfect.
She was so good.
She was so good. Everybody was so good. So, this is an absolute recommend. Watch it. Go watch season one again. Watch season one. Watch season two. Sorry that El Gran Barba was not there, but you never know. We'll see.
Yeah, El Barba Grande.
Barba Grande, but
or the sea creature.
Or the sea creature, but hey, what you gonna do? So, So, yes, check it out. Watch it twice because you can. Brian, thank you for just giving us a few minutes of your time. I know you got things to do, but I will send this off and hopefully you can listen too. So, for Brian and myself, this is Jason Block saying do it for Dewey, and we'll see you next week here on South Point. No, I'm sorry, on the North America, on the NAWC. We'll be back.